couple years ago, Pastor Jim said, I think you might be hiding behind that keyboard. And I said, well, what do you mean? And I knew what he meant, but it is more comfortable to be behind a keyboard singing and worshiping because I can close my eyes and ignore everybody. just the way it is. I have a similar testimony to you, Bronk, and that is that I grew up in a Christian home, spirit-filled, and didn't walk away. I did. You get the saintly trophy, though, brother, because I did have a couple of years where I strayed a little bit, but I had such a sensitive conscience that I, like, just the littlest thing, the world would think it was nothing, and they say, oh my goodness, Jamie, but I'd feel so guilty about the things. I just knew I wasn't hot for Jesus. And during those times, I didn't even want to say talk about Jesus because I was like, I don't want to bring a reproach on his name. You know, even though I wasn't doing all the stuff that everyone else was doing. But I just knew my heart wasn't hot for Jesus. And I had a really powerful encounter when I was 18, just before I turned 19, with God. I went on a trip to Dominican Republic with three of my best girlfriends. We were all backslidden Christians. And therefore, we felt like we didn't have to witness to each other. And sometimes that can happen in Christian circles, is you don't feel like you have to be a witness and you let yourself off the hook. And even in that time, sometimes I'd go to youth groups and or college and careers groups or whatever, and like the older youth groups. And all they did for fun was like movies and just anything, but nothing had God involved. And I remember just being like, that's not what I want. Like, when I serve God, it's going to be all in, you know? But I remember it was January, February, and I said to God, I don't know how to walk 100% with you. I was so pulled by my friends and by just that life. I cared what people thought. I didn't want to lose all my friends. I'm a very social person. And I knew actually that I would have to probably lose all my friends in order to be hot for Jesus. But it's like I didn't have the strength. And so I just honestly and truly, in that year in January, I just got before God and I said, okay, you know what? I give you everything, including my friends. Like, I want to know how to be hot for you. And we went away, me and my friends, my best girlfriends, to Dominican Republic. And halfway through the week, this huge blown-out fight with my best friend. And, like, calling names and, like, meow, you know, and all this stuff. And and I just remember thinking I couldn't call my dad, who was my rock, okay? And I'm there all alone, and I thought, like, I had nowhere else to turn but to God, which is the best way to turn. But it's like I had no human, you know, and sometimes we go to humans for what we can only get from God. But I went on to the beach that day, and I was just crying, and I was talking to God, and I said, okay, Lord, like, I know it's time. I know it's my time. I've got to, like, get this right. And somebody that worked there walked over, and I was like, oh, I want to be alone. And he said, oh, I just have a question for you. He says, do you know Jesus? And what happened was God met me on the beach in Dominican Republic with no dad, with no one around. And he said, God wants you to know, it doesn't matter what your friends think, it doesn't matter what anyone thinks, but just him, live for him. And that was it. That began that change in my heart where I said, no more playing with the world. I came back home. I stopped everything. My friends called me a couple months later, said, where are you? I'm like, I am done with all that. No more. You know, I was not like the drinker. I was a designated driver. I didn't do that anymore. I didn't even that. I didn't want anything to do with the world. And right around that time, I was turning 19. And my parents had started a church up in Quebec in Canada. And I started leading worship. And I'm telling you, I could barely sing and play together when I started. I was on this little keyboard, this big. There was like maybe two and a half octaves on it. I could barely sing and play together. I had to concentrate really hard on the notes. I remember getting really, really, really upset if I'd mess up, because I like to do things well, you know. And one time I was doing that, but what would happen is it would take me out of worship. And so God just spoke to my heart one day and said, you know, next time you mess up, just kind of give a little chuckle. Like, I wasn't like, ha, in the mic and getting everyone out of worship. But it was like, just give a little chuckle, because there was something that needed just to break in me that was like, you know what? It's not about performance. It's not about all that stuff. And in those days, like, I was so hungry for the word. I was so hungry for God. And I would just devour it. And it didn't matter what you could have told me that, you needed to like dye your hair purple to serve Jesus. And I'd be like, I'm dyeing my hair purple. It didn't matter. I just wanted everything to do with God. I had to get into the Word and I had to learn the Word of God. And God had already been showing me worship because since I was a child, I worshiped. I just kept worshiping. I didn't even know what I was doing. I worshiped before anyone ever taught me how to worship. I understood that if I worshiped God, I'd feel better from a very young age. 11 or 12, I started doing that. And so worship was not the thing, but I knew I needed to get into the Word. And one day, I think it was like 2004. I'd been in ministry a few years now. And is it 2004, Elaine? Where are you? I think he said it was 2004. But 2003, 2004. I was reading in Acts chapter 4. Why don't we all go there? Acts chapter 4, verse 32. Of course, this is the beginning of the church, and everyone was really excited about God, and there was a lot of people coming into the kingdom at that time. Verse 32, and the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked. For as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold and laid them down at the apostles' feet. And distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. Okay, we'll just stop there for now. So I read this. Again, this is the early days of me being in ministry and just loving Jesus. And I go to my dad, who is my pastor, and I say, okay, do you see this? Like, did you see this? You know this was in here kind of thing? And, I was like, we were tithers, and we believed it. And we were like, yeah, we just want to see the kingdom go forward and everything. And I'm like, yeah, but this doesn't really say anything. In fact, this shows me that you really need to give a lot more than 10%. It's, you know, I'm just thinking. And my dad, he had just recently connected with Dave Robertson Ministries, and he hands me this tape series by Gary Carpenter and on giving. And I can't remember what it's called. The title could have the Macedonians or something in there, but basically he handed this to me. And our kids were just little. Becca was maybe a year. Michaela was 3 or 4. And I was going away for a weekend. LA was staying home with the kids. I was just going away to pray and spend time with the Lord. And I took this series with me, and it totally blew my mind. I was like, yeah, that's it. And two things really came out of that. One is that I was not under a curse any longer if I didn't give 10%. And number two is, oh man, I had a lot more to learn. And really what happens is, like, it's like, you get like, at least this happened for me. I don't know if any of you guys can attest to this, but almost like confused a bit at first. When doctrine starts shifting like that, there's like, you feel like, wait a second here. If I was wrong about this, what else was I wrong about? That's really what was happening. And it was like, God has to untrain you to train you back up again, you know? And so that's kind of like my journey into this giving and this. It was a miracle even how my dad made it to Dave Roberson Ministries. That's one of those things, like you were talking about, Richard, today, where he's in Tulsa and God just starts telling him, go right, go left, go right. And he ends up at Pastor Dave's place. You know, just awesome. And through that, so much fruit, man. Like, I'm so thankful for these men of God who took the time to go into the prayer closet and just bring out such treasures and awesomeness. I do want to say this. Pastor Dave said a long time ago, he said that he was so thankful. I might not get it word for word, but he was so thankful that God taught him the word limb before he taught him the worship limb. Because there's a place in worship where you can get to where you just feel so good, right? You just feel like, sometimes when I'm worshiping here or home or whatever, I'm just bawling, or I just feel like, I don't know what to say to you. All I know is your glory and your goodness just is so amazing, you can kind of understand how people can get off on some things when that's all they know. You have to have the Word of God to ground you. And you know, even Brother Gary a couple days ago, he was like, okay, there's only two ways that I know how to give, you know. We all know that. One, as you purpose in your heart, and two, as the Holy Spirit leads you. You know, and the first one is easy. You either want to or you don't. I don't think it's not rocket science. You know, I mean, you're supposed to give with a cheerful heart, but you either want to give or you don't want to give. But the second one is really what I wanted to talk a little bit about tonight. And it's not going to be too much longer because Pastor Bronco, I want you to come up and whatever, but what the Lord was really sharing with me is sometimes when you've heard something over and over and over again, you actually think you're doing it, but you've stopped doing it. And so a couple days ago, when Gary was up here, he said, okay, it was offering time. And he said, okay, everyone close your eyes and just, okay, Lord, show us what you'd have us give. And then it was like over. And it was like, okay. My question to everyone and myself too, because I'm in here, right? It's like that whenever you preach, you're not just preaching to everyone, you're preaching to yourself. Is, are we taking time to develop our spiritual ears at home? Because if you're not, you're not going to hear in 3 seconds or 10 seconds in the pew. You're just not. Like, when he speaks to you, is he involved in your life? Like, Jesus is not an add-on. Jesus is like all-encompassing, all-consuming. That's who Jesus is. You know, it's not like, okay, I'll go to church and then that's my, that section of my life. It's every part of your life. Everyone go to James chapter 4. I love that we are in this book this week. I love the book of James. Because I'm a doer. I'm the opposite of you, Ruthie. I don't mind being in the forefront. My issue is that just because you can doesn't mean you should. And you got to just allow God to lead you. But, I mean, you have, we have, so for James 4:13, let's just read this. Go to now, which means listen up, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. This is the part. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. God needs to be so intricately entwined in everything that we do, everything that we think. If we think that we are going to not walk in the Spirit at home and then suddenly know what he's telling us to give, it's not going to happen. And the problem with all of that is that then the kingdom suffers. Because God is trying to get things through us and over into this realm, including finances, so that the kingdom can go forward. But if our ears are not even tuned to hear him, then how are we going to hear him when he says, I want you to give this amount? Or I want you to, really, it's not going to happen. Go back over to Acts chapter 4. I should have told you to keep your finger there. I'm sorry. Okay, let's read verse 34 again. Neither was there any among them that lacked. For as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold. Let me ask you something. Did you notice that there's plural on land and houses? There's an S there, which means they had more than one. God was not telling them to be homeless, okay? But understand this. What they had that was extra, they let it go. And then I was just pondering on this, and what came to mind is, I've never seen anyone do this. It should be normal Christianity, kind of like what Brother Gary was saying, and it's not. When was the last time you, maybe you've seen one or two people in your life that have sold land or houses and given everything, but when he says they were as many as were possessors of lands and houses, it wasn't abnormal. But it's so abnormal that we would even think that God could totally encompass everything about us and tell us, I want you to sell that and give it all. Give it. And I'm not standing here saying, go and sell your house. Like I said, I don't think God doesn't want you homeless. But what I'm saying is, what needs to change in our mindset that we say, Jesus, everything, all, everything in me. It's everything, you know? And so the problem is that even though God can get money into our hands another way, he wants to use us. So again, it's just more about letting what our words and our actions line up with each other. Taking this, everyone take your word and say, this applies to me. Nothing in it you're exempt from. Nothing in it I'm exempt from. We may be walking toward it, but we don't get to be exempt from it. And that includes all of our money and all of our time and all of our life and God just intertwined in it all. And, you know, I know he's training us. I don't mean to be super heavy about it, but I am an intense person, so that's how it's always going to come. you know, to me, there's an urgency about these days that we just need to get it. And, you know, God is worth it. He's a jewel. He's precious. He's worth everything. Amen.